Baseball PhD podcast segment to remember, 2010.
This interview comes from episode 28, San Francisco Giants.
I interview John Burbridge about the 1954 New York Giants.
Who would have thought that the Giants would have won again in 2010?
A great baseball PhD to Giants fan and baseball researcher, John Burbridge. John, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just great.
Let's talk about the 1954 Giants. That's the last Giants team that ever won a World Series. You've been loving them for a long time. Why was that club so special?
Well, it was kind of an interesting club. The Giants had transitioned under Leo DeRocher and won, of course, the pennant in 1951 and on Bobby Thompson's home run, who just recently passed away.
The shot heard round the world.
Then in 1952 and 1953, their emerging star, Willie Mays, went into the service. And I think that kind of kept them down in those 2 years. So 52 and 53, while competitive, while very competitive to the Brooklyn Dodgers, they weren't able to win a pennant. But 1954, Mays came back, and everything seemed to gel. And it was a great ball club. Primarily, great pitching and great defense. Those were the two things that really kind of made the Giants a little bit special in 1954. Some of the players were getting up there in age, like Monty Irvin, but it all came together. The Giants actually led most of the season and clinched fairly early in September, say around September 20th. Led by Mays, who was the MVP and also the batting title, won the batting title that year with a .345 batting average.
Wow.
They also had an excellent ball player playing right field, Don Mandrake Mueller. And Mueller and Mays and Duke Snider were fighting it out for the batting title up until the last day when Mays beat out Snider and Mueller. But Mueller was nicknamed Mandrake the Magician because he could hit the ball all over the field.
Let's talk about the pitching staff. What kind of staff?
The pitching staff was anchored by Johnny Antonelli. They had gotten Antonelli from the
Phillies?
No, from the Milwaukee Braves.
Okay.
They got Johnny Antonelli and Don Little from the Milwaukee Braves earlier that in the offseason. And Antonelli was just stupendous. Antonelli led the staff, just really had a great ERA. Of course, they had an old veteran behind Antonelli, and that was Sal Maglia. And Sal won a lot of big games that year. And then in between Antonelli and Maglia, they had Ruben Gomez from Puerto Rico, and Ruben won 17 games. But Antonelli had a 2.3 ERA, won 21 games, and really was the anchor of that staff. They also had great relief pitching that year.
Okay.
Marv Grissom was a fireman, and Hoyt Wilhelm, who ultimately ended up in the Hall of Fame,
right,
was kind of a setup man. Got into a lot of games, and of course his knuckler was really, really great. And so with Grissom and Wilhelm and Wendy McCall, they had an excellent relief staff, and were able to kind of supplement that pitching staff. And I think that was one of the major reasons they did so well, was that pitching staff.
No, it always is. A team that struggles is a team that's having a bullpen blowing leads at the
right,
you know, end of the game. Consistently. I mean, you know, if you win your division by 3-4 games, a bad bullpen can easily blow 10.
Yeah, and Grissom and Wilhelm were really super.
Walk me through this. I know that when the Dodgers moved to the West Coast, most Dodger fans washed their hands of the Dodgers. Was that the same phenomenon when the Giants moved?
I don't think so. I think you had more Giant fans sticking with the Giants. Of course, a lot of Giant fans didn't necessarily follow them out to San Francisco, but there wasn't that detest of Horace Tonem as there was for Brooklyn fans had for Walter O'Malley.
Right.
I just met a Dodger fan over the weekend, and his wife said, boy, he has some wonderful adjectives to describe Walter O'Malley. Well, he didn't describe Stoneham in that same sense. The Polo Grounds was deteriorating. The Giant attendance was down to 600,000 to 700,000 that last year. While the Dodgers were still a very profitable franchise and having over a million fans coming to Ebbets Field, the Giant fans were a little bit more stoic, I think, in understanding what was going on. Dodger fans were a little bit more passionate. Probably describes the fans in general and their fervor for the teams also. But you didn't have that anger that you had for the Giants, that the Dodger fans had for Walter O'Malley and the Dodgers leaving. A lot of Dodger fans just refused to follow them to the West Coast and root for them any longer.
And it sounds like with the Giants moving to the West Coast, emotionally, you still kind of keep track of the Giants.
And again, I emotionally, the attachment to Willie Mays, and I think if there was one thing that did keep Giant fans linked with the Giants when they went to the West Coast was Mays. And the interesting thing is that San Francisco initially didn't accept Mays because he was considered part of the old Giants, the New York Giants. And, of course, you had people like players like Orlando Cepeda coming up when they went to the West Coast. And Cepeda became a big fan, a big hero out in the West Coast. Same thing with Willie McCovey.
Right, exactly. Now, have you been to San Francisco to see AT&T Park?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Great ballpark. Great ballpark. And I really appreciated all of the references to the New York Giants.
Right.
Throughout the ballpark, Peter McGowan, the former owner of the Giants, really wanted to keep the tradition. These were the Giants, whether they were in New York or in San Francisco, they were the Giants.
Right.
And so you see that tradition stemming over from New York to San Francisco, especially in that ballpark, that magnificent ballpark.
No, I mean, I think I've been to 29 of the 30 ballparks as we speak. I'm going to go to Target Field in September. If you put a gun to my head, I think AT&T Park is the most beautiful park in the major leagues. As you sit there looking at San Francisco Bay, I mean, I guess as a New Yorker that you were, you say, well, this ain't the Polo Grounds. This does look beautiful. They did a very nice job building this. And I can't imagine a ballpark that captures the imagination of baseball any better than AT&T Park. A left-handed hitter hits a home run to right field. It goes into the San Francisco Bay. I mean, that's just picturesque.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. There are a few left-hand hitters, though, who get a little bit frustrated with that deep, deep right center field, though, like Aubrey Huff every once in a while. Thinks he's got one out of there, and it gets caught at the wall.
Right. No, I agree. So, John, thank you for your time, and thank you for being on Baseball PhD.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Enjoyed it much, and go Giants.
This has been a Baseball PhD production. Copyright 2010.